and I'm going to ask you guys for permission to be a fire hose for a moment. Okay? I know Muzz prophesied that over me, but I mean, like, I'm going to go quick in a teaching because I feel like we need at least the last 15 minutes of service to activate and pray together. And so what I'm going to pray is I'm going to pray for God's anointing for you to comprehend everything I say in the Spirit and that for my words to be clear. So let's just pray. Father, right now, we thank you. And I pray, Lord, that as you're releasing this message, that you're releasing with it the grace to every hearer to be able to fully understand, to fully comprehend every word that's spoken, and specifically every word that you speak, and that it would activate us and empower us into a new realm of victory. And we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're in this series called Knowing Him. Last week, I talked about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. One thing that I just want to encourage you on too is, and there's a song or verse that talks about, I will sing, I will speak in the Spirit, and I will speak in English. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing also in known tongues or known languages. And I want to encourage you, another important part of your prayer life is not just going to be praying in the Spirit, but also singing in the Spirit. There's something that releases as you connect with Him through worship that we don't connect with in just normal prayer. And so there's another level of engagement with it. Now, today I want to talk to you about victory. Let me hear you say victory. And then as we're engaging in prayer, when you know Him as He really is, I just said it a couple years ago, and I didn't realize that John Osteen said it first, but God is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He's going to do. And then we've added on, and I can do what He says I can do, because He's made me in His image. And it's a power statement of faith, like a bold statement that God really is who He has revealed through the Scriptures and who Jesus revealed Him to be. And so in that song, I just want to tell you, I've got in-ears on when I'm playing, which means that I can hear the rest of the instruments on the platform and whatnot, and it was pretty loud. As you guys were singing, All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen, it was overwhelming us on the platform. Like it was God's grace I could even hit the drum and beat because it was so overwhelming, just the emotion of hearing your guys' bold faith, audacious faith, coming into agreement with truth, coming into agreement with promises. And one of the greatest areas that I think the church has fallen short in when it comes to prayer and to worship is not believing that Jesus accomplished it all on the cross and feeling like we have to war towards victory. Like I have to strive towards, like the devil's still in power and he's still messing around and he's got his victory. And I see what happens in Florida. And I go, yep, there's another example where the devil's just succeeding everywhere he goes. And we feel like it's this, like the victory hasn't been won yet. But we have to remember what Jesus says. It is finished. And so as we go towards, as you know Him, you will know that He finished it and He completed it. You will know that as you pray in confidence and boldness that God is not in a war with the devil. The devil might be at war against God, but God goes, eh. Why? Because He's just a created being. And so we have to position ourselves with bold expectation. We cannot afford to look at circumstances, whether that be what the shooting in Florida or whether that be other circumstances that we're facing, like a diagnosis or like the death of a loved one or like where we're dealing with darkness and nightmares and where am I going to eat and where's jobs and all these different things that will bring worries and concerns of the world. We cannot afford to give ourselves a moment's thought to go, maybe I'm not there in victory yet. Maybe I'm behind the eight ball. Maybe victory's down there and I'm just waiting the breakthrough into victory. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is no, we are operating from victory. Let me hear you say, I operate from victory. So you got to fight from victory. You have to have passion from victory. You have to come passion from what Jesus completed on the cross. It is finished, done, said, over with. Now, the Lord in His divine wisdom has continued to allow the enemy to have a run on the earth for a time. And those that do not know Him are under His sway. But nowhere in Scripture will you see a verse that says, but the people of God, they're also supposed to be under the sway of the enemy. Like, they're victims to what the devil does. And that couldn't be further from the truth. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The devil would love for you to believe that you're a victim to things that happen in life. We have to know the truth of God. We have to have Scripture, because we're going to face situations, trials, tribulations, things that are outside of our control, things that the devil does. And in that moment, we have a crisis of faith. And we can say either God is who he says he is or he's not. There is no gray area whatsoever. Either he is a God who we believe he is or he's not. I can't serve a God that is not all powerful. I will not serve a God who's all powerful. Not all powerful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I give my heart to the all powerful God. And so when I face a situation in the earth that does not match up as it is in heaven, that is my invitation in that moment as a born again believer to partner with heaven to bring it into the earth. Now, as you read out of Matthew chapter 6, one of the most powerful verses or sets of scriptures that you can read. Verse 9 says this, in this manner, therefore pray. Now, who is given this instruction? We'll say it all together. Who is it? It's Jesus. This isn't just a disciple. This isn't just a writer. This is God himself giving you instruction. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, therefore, in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right out of the bat, he starts with the awe and the reverence for who he is, that every prayer must begin with this. Like, I come into alignment, and Cindy reminded me beforehand, when we're dealing with specifically principalities and things, and we're going against the plans of the enemy, it's the Lord that rebukes the enemy. I'm just coming into agreement with the Lord's rebuke. Do you hear what I'm saying? It can't be on my authority. It has to be on his authority. As I step onto a battlefield, it's not based off of my ability to do anything. Because if it's based on my ability to do anything, we're all in trouble, right? But when I come in his authority, in the name of our Father, our family, we just prayed for family. It's our Father. Hallowed is his name. It means there's no other name under the sun by which man might be saved or rescued or healed or set free or delivered. We have to understand the power in the name of him. And so when we come in this place, let's orient our heart with that. And look what it says after that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you read in the Greek language, the way it describes it, it's an actual command. It's not a pleading prayer. Oh, would your, as it is in heaven, please come. Like, please, Jesus, this really stinks. Like, this is really dark and this really hurts. Please, 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 please. It's not a pleading prayer. It's a, wait a minute, no. Our Father, my Father, I'm in his household. And hallowed is his name. His kingdom come now. Where's the declaration? I'm making the declaration to my circumstances. I'm making the declaration to the enemy. Because remember, my battle's not against flesh and blood. It's the spiritual warfare that goes on around us that influences every decision. You want to know what's happened in our country in the last, I don't know, 20 years? There's a principality of racism that's tried to raise its ugly head again. That we thought maybe the civil rights movement had dealt with, but it's a principality. Means it's not just a low-hanging fruit demon. It means one who's like a general in the devil's army, and it's a principality, racism. You know why there's such a confusion on gender identity? It's a principality. Because the Lord has established male and female. But you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to counterfeit and he wants to tear down the image of God. And if he gets God's most precious creation, which is you and me, to doubt who they are in him and how they were created, he's already won a victory. It's a principality. Sexual orientation, it's a principality. Pornography, it's a principality. Poverty, it's a principality. But here's, my faith is not in the principality. I don't care how big and how ugly and how destructive and how disgusting it is. It does not impress me. You know what impresses me? My Father who art in heaven. And hallowed be his name. And his kingdom will come and his will be done in the earth, on the earth, now, as it is in heaven. Do you hear the difference in praying this prayer? It's a declaration. I come into alignment with what is true. I'm not waiting around to see if it's true. I already know it's true because I know him. So we're going to come to against and we're going to fight towards, not towards victory, but from victory, from this place of it. And we're going to look into the earth and go, yep, over here, heaven needs to be brought. Over here, heaven needs to be brought. Over here, God's will needs to be brought. And we're the agents, we're the conduit of his will being carried out into the earth. We need to release the angelic to bring heaven into earth as well. We're not alone in this battle. Let me hear you say, we're not alone. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're on our side because we're on their side. And actually, let me rephrase that. We're on their side. God's not on my side. I'm on his side. He only has one side. It's his side. I happen to be on his side. The devil's not. We have the angelic. Angels are real. You read through Scripture. There's more stories of angelic activity in the New Testament. We don't worship the angels, but we must know why they're here, to be released into and carry out the promises of God, carry out the healing of God, carry out the deliverance of God. Remember when the Roman centurion came to Jesus and said, hey, I've got a servant who's sick. Jesus says, great, I'll come to your house. He goes, no, it's okay. You're a man underneath authority. I'm a man underneath authority. When I give an order, my servants go out and do my will. I recognize that you just have to say a word. And servants that you can't see, which would be who? Angels will carry out the work of the Lord. In the same way, we come into alignment and we allow them to step into their full duty assignment. Shabbat. You can go through the rest of the prayer. The rest of that falls into that. Give us this day our daily bread, not just his word, but also what we're going to eat, our provision. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're in a real war, aren't we? There's a war for our kids. There's a war for our nation. There's a war for our world. There's a war for our generation. We prayed it before. You've heard me probably say it before if you've been here. I don't believe that we have multiple generations in this place right now. I believe we have one generation. And whether that's the baby Hazel back there or somebody who's in their 80s or 90s or 100s, we're all one generation. We're the generation of the Lord that's got to raise up. And there's a war against us, which means we cannot walk into this thing just like ho-hum, sunshine and rainbows. We must be engaged with the victory and continue to renew our mind in the victory that I already have won in Christ Jesus. Victory is mine. It's part of my inheritance. And so when we look at these things, we have to understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Let me hear you say, mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. 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 What are strongholds? Any area that the enemy has built up and fortified in somebody's life, contrary to the word of God. That means we're not to tolerate the strongholds the enemy has built up. We love people, but we hate the spirit that's fighting behind them. We're going to love people because why? The people are our destiny. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, we're destined to go and grab people groups out of darkness and bring them into light. Trying to gauge my time here. Have you ever heard that the devil's not real? Has anybody ever heard that put out there? Well, that's just silly, okay? I've also heard that the devil is behind every stone and every corner and every turn. We must be so impressed with the Lord Jesus that that's what transforms our thought life, transforms the way that we think, the way that we act, the way we believe. This reminds me out of Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. This is a report to Moses. We entered the land you sent to us to explore, and it's indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Do you hear what I'm saying? In a culture when it's really easy to turn on the news and say, there's the giants, there's the Amalekites, there's the Canaanites, they're big, they're bad, what are we going to do? And allow fear to be able to enter into. That's our promised land out there. God has promised this city to us. God has promised your children to you. He's promised you generations. And we cannot allow ourselves to come into agreement with those who would operate in fear. But look what Caleb says. Caleb tries to quiet them down and says, let's go at once. Let me hear you say, let's go at once. You know what that means? Don't hesitate. You don't have to ask for permission to pray and declare the victory and the freedom of God. Permission granted. Jesus says, go therefore, permission granted. Says, let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what we thought too. So let me be really frank today and pretty non-politically correct. That hacks me off. It's unbiblical. It's not righteous. And it's not loving to tell our kids that, well, there's an enemy and you're just going to have to tolerate him. No. Go at once. Any lie of the enemy, go at once and tear it down. Any lying belief system or stronghold, go at once, tear it down. Don't entertain it. Don't look at it. Don't be impressed with the report of the giants. Be impressed with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. And his kingdom is coming and his will is being done now on the earth as it is in heaven. Be impressed with that. That's your report. That's your testimony. Somebody asks you, why do you have such a faith? Because my Father who art in heaven sent his Son for me and rescued me. And his kingdom's coming. Do you want to experience the fullness of his kingdom? I see you're dealing with cancer. Let's pray for it now. I see that you're dealing with depression. Let's bring light and hope into you right now. I see that you're dealing with a situation that's beyond your ability to control. That's okay. It's not beyond his ability to control. And somebody might say, well, but I've been dealing with this for years. I understand that. That's why it's a stronghold. But we've been given weapons that are mighty in God to tear down strongholds. You already have victory. It's been won. It's been accomplished. All that we're waiting for is the full manifestation of that on the earth. So what's our choice? We can either be impressed with the giants or we can be impressed with our Father. And we continue without fail to march back up to the line of truth and say, now I will not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. He wants to throw me into the furnace. My God will rescue me. And even if he doesn't, I'm not bowing down to this lie. Even if you give your life in giving of the gospel or in the situation you're in, even if you lose your life, it's okay. Revelation says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives even to death. You can't be so attached to comfort here that it stops you from pressing past the pain into him. Because in him, at his right hand, are pleasures forevermore. In the Holy Ghost. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's scripture. Sometimes you have to push past the pain to the right hand of the Father where he's at, where Jesus is interceding for you day and night, and you see the resurrected Christ with the holes still in his hands because it's a sign to you that it's been paid for. You have to press through the pain. Are you okay? 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Romans 8:37 says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So you have victory over the enemy. Let me give you a few points. Number one, Jesus paid it all. Let me hear you say, Jesus paid it all. John 19:30, when Jesus had tasted it, he says, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. I had somebody tell me the other day that the devil beat Jesus. In this moment, he died. Then the devil went in that moment. I said, oh, no, you're not reading the scripture correctly. Jesus says, it's finished, and he released his spirit. Where did he release his spirit? To the Father. He didn't relinquish his spirit to the devil. He relinquished his spirit to the Father. When you're up against it, you go, no, my Father who art in heaven, I constantly stay in this place. Now, the Greek word is telestai, which means it's accomplished, it is fulfilled, it's paid in full. Jesus' death accomplished redemption, paid in full, and his death fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. So he paid it all, fight from victory that Jesus purchased, fight from that place. Number two, Satan will attack. Let me hear you say, Satan will attack. Don't be impressed with it. Don't be impressed with it. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 13 say this, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. The devil's going to tempt you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't fight fear. He will use your kids. He will use your spouse. He will use your friends. He will use your neighbors. He will use the government. He'll use the news media. He will use anything he can to get underneath your skin and try to disrupt your peace that was won in the victory of Jesus. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Why? Because he established total victory. He alone can say peace because he has won the victory already. After World War II, guess what happened? The United States and the Allies were able to declare peace. Japan and Germany could not declare peace. They had to surrender. Do you hear what I'm saying? They had to surrender. The victors are the ones that lived in peace, and they extended peace. In the same way, the enemy's coming against you, and you must know you have the victory. They must surrender to you, not you to them. John 10, 1 through 10, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, who's the gate? Jesus, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. I'm going to stop right here. Stop following the voice of a stranger. And I say that to myself. There's sometimes I hear a voice. It's the voice of a stranger, but it sounds really convincing. Whatever the trial, the tribulation, the situation is, there's some moments in weakness I go, oh, God, that sounds really convincing. Stop following the voice of a stranger. Your Father speaks. Know his voice. Says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give him a rich and satisfying life. Let me give you a testimony of Simon Peter. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. This is Jesus speaking. Simon, Simon, Satan's asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Did you notice that Jesus didn't say, I've prayed for you, Peter, that the devil won't be able to tempt you? He says, I prayed for you so that your faith would not fail. Because only a people with faith can take the promised land and kill the giants. He's developing in you a greater level of faith. We have the women's retreat, faith that moves mountains. That's not a bumper sticker. That sounds good. There's practical application on it. And he wants to develop this faith inside of you where there's no mountain that you can't take. So you will be tempted. Satan's asking for permission to sift you. And the Father goes, I know that my children will make it through it. Because in their yes to me, all my promises are yes and amen. They go, yes. All right, I'm going to prove myself through them in the middle of the victory. In the middle of the battle, I'm going to extend my victory. So his prayer for you is that your faith would not just not fail, but it would be strengthened. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Let me hear you say, like a roaring lion. Notice he didn't say he prowls around as a roaring lion. There's a difference between like and as. as would denotate he is. Like means he's an imitator. The devil's opposer. He comes to you masquerading as an angel of what? Light. Has he got light? No, there's no light in him. There's only darkness. But he will pose as a light. He will pose as a lion because he wants to intimidate you. He wants to scare you. He wants you to be able to take your faith away from the true line, which is the line of Judah. We've got that flag in the back. It's the line of the tribe of Judah. That is where we listen. That's the roar we're looking for. But it does say, watch out for your enemy. Why? It's not so we can go, all right, is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? No. It's like, oh, he's coming. I get to trap him. Go ahead. Come on in. Come here, kitty. Do you hear what I'm saying? Boom! What's a mouse trap do? It lures it in with bait. Is that too vivid of an illustration for you? Here, kitty. Let me hear you. Go ahead. Here, kitty. All right. The Lord rebuke you. Repeat after me. The Lord rebuke you. Because who are you tapping into? Him. Be alert. Be watchful. When he comes in, the Lord rebuke you. You can't come after my kids. You can't come after my finances. You can't come after my marriage. You can't come after my nation, my schools. You can't come after these things. No. The Lord rebuke you. So the next thing would be this. Stand firm, stand your ground, and don't waver. Let me hear you say, stand firm, stand my ground, and don't waver. Let's look at the continuation of 1 Peter 5:9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. This is why it requires faith. This is why it calls boldness. This is why it calls resolution. You have to be resolute in who God is inside of you. You begin to waver, the enemy can come in and blow you around. What is wavering? Right? Any wind can blow me this way or blow me this way. No, but I stand firm. I have firm foundation. So when the storm and the winds come, guess what? I'm not shaken. Because I have a kingdom that is unshakable. The kingdoms of the world will be shaken, but we receive the unshakable kingdom of heaven. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 8. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let me hear you say, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So where's your confidence? My strength comes from him and in his mighty power. And you might say, but pastor, I've been in situations, I called out to him and it didn't seem like he came. Be strong in the Lord, stand firm, do not waver, believe and have faith in his mighty power and you will be delivered. I can promise you that. It will come to pass. Because it's a fight for your heart. It's a fight for your devotion. It says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. If you're able to share in the glory of Christ Jesus, what can the devil do to you? He can't diminish that one bit. A little dirt's thrown on you, who cares? The glory of the God will shine through you. Arise and shine, church. The darkness will cover the earth. The darkness will cover peoples, but your light will shine. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies. Let me hear you say all strategies of the devil. He wouldn't tell you to stand firm if you couldn't in him. He would not tell you to do something that you do not have the capacity to do in him. So it's a command. Stand firm. This is why when we give an invitation to the Lordship of Jesus to become born again, it's not just do I get my ticket to heaven. It's I bow and I surrender to the Lordship of him. Because Lordship needs to be understood through the lens of sonship. I come in as a son, but he's my God. And things will try to challenge that. It says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. So after the battle, what are you going to be doing? Stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In other words, fully prepared to take every ounce of territory the devil has stolen. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit. We talked about it last week. At all times and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Know who Jesus made you to be, fill yourself up with his word, and never stop praying. Psalm 119, 133 says, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. James 4, 7, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will. Let me hear you say, he will. He'll do what? He'll flee. It means he's got to flee. He didn't have a choice. That means that even one of these little kids, if they surrender and submit to God, they've got more authority in their little bodies through that faith than he has in all of hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? It doesn't require you being like, well, I'm an apostle and I've got this. No, have the faith of a believer, of a child. Number four, go on the attack. Let me hear you say, go on the attack. Reclaim the promised land. Let me say, reclaim the promised land. Jesus keeps us in the world in order to transform it for him. John 17, 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That means there's purpose in the battle and why we're here on the planet. So get in the game. Get in the game. Guys, I'm going to say this, but let this be a gender neutral statement. Man up. Ladies, you hear what I'm saying? This is not about guys versus gals. This is about the sons and daughters of God rising up. Time to man up. Time for us to stop, for us to not to take a back seat to anybody. Step up. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you step into obedience to the, yes, Lord, you're my Father. Your will be done now. I'm surrendered to you. My yes is my obedience to him. In that, when that is fulfilled, now I look for any areas where heaven does not have influence over the place in the earth. And I make the devil pay with the punishment that's due to him. Right? He's got to surrender. Now, does this mean that I get a paddle and I'm spanking him or stuff like that? Maybe. Right? You make him pay. But the point is this. You remind him of the lake of fire. That's his future. He keeps trying to bring up your past, and he gets you afraid of your future, and you just have to say, no, 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 I know the end of the book. And at the end of the book, you get thrown into a lake of fire after you kneel at Jesus and say, you're Lord. So why do we have to wait till then to live it now? That's another lie. You get to live it now. It's not just an eternity. It's now. Does that mean there's real circumstances that are going to be hurtful? Yes. Can we all agree with that? This is not ostrich with the head in the sand. Bill Johnson says, faith does not deny the existence of problems, but it denies those problems a place of influence. I'm influenced by him, and I get to influence the problems of the earth with the kingdom of heaven. So go on the attack, reclaim the promised land. I love this. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, out of the Message version. It says this, now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door. No more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Finally, you will be delivered. Let me say, I will be delivered. Remember we talked about how, let's get this one. Last week we talked about how Paul is talking about how he pleaded with the Lord. There's a thorn in the flesh. And says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. And he says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I've heard it said, well, Paul, this meant that Paul struggled his entire life. Remember, it was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him and to come against. All right, so there was an attack of the enemy against Paul's life. Let me read you out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And listen what it says. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You will be delivered. He might be roaring. It might feel like he's got his jaws around you, but you will be delivered. Why? Because the Lord will stand with you, and the Lord will strengthen you. Why? So that the message that he has of your life in him will be preached to all people groups. Do you hear what I'm saying? He wants the message of the gospel of kingdom to get out, so he'll stand with you, he will strengthen you, and he will deliver you. But you just have to believe that. So in the middle of it, you have to do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. O king, I will not bow to your image. The Lord, he will deliver me. But even if I die in that furnace, I'm not bowing down because my future is already set. My eternity's already set, and I've already been bought with a price. So won't you stand with me? I gave us 7 minutes. The number seven is perfect, so we're good. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to get with three people in here. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to pray for the victory of Christ in their life first, okay? Just for each other, pray for each other. The victory of Christ, may the bold faith come into them. The second thing, I want you to begin to pray for our nation and say that the victory of Christ on the cross is sufficient for America. It's sufficient to cover over the hurts that happened in Florida. It's sufficient to prevent future things too. The prayers of the righteous person avail much. Okay, we're going to put this into action for the next few minutes, okay? And so I'm going to pray for you. The second I say amen, I want you to go and find just three people real quick, and y'all begin to pray, okay? So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you that your Spirit is here. I pray right now and release a boldness into the atmosphere. The reverence and the awe of who you are. You are who you say you are. You will do what you say you're going to do. And we can do what you say we can do because we are who you say we are. Come, Holy Spirit. Let up a mighty intercession be raised up in these next 5 to 7 minutes, so much so that the gates of hell will be shooken and all those strongholds in this region will be torn down in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, find your prayer partners real quick.